Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yeah! Feel Good Friday here on Boomer and Geo, brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka. Sunshine in a can. We're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And slump busting is where we started this morning on this Feel Good Summer Friday, as that's what the Mets need. The Mets need something to break this losing streak. And we talked about all the things that happened last year. Grimace and Hachtua and the rally pimp and the gay Mets and the rally pumpkin and all of those things. And we think that maybe in 2025, the good old Mark Grace slump buster is the thing that'll get them turned around. One of the single Mets goes out and finds a hefty gal and does what he needs to do to jump on the grenade for the team.
Yeah, I would hope that the top four in the lineup somehow can slump bust. Because right now, if you remember last year, it all started because Francisco Lindor got hot offensively. And, you know, he had a second half to remember. He was a second half MVP in my eyes. And right now, over the last 25 games, maybe a little bit longer, he has kind of been missing in action offensively.
Yeah, and it really is more than Juan Soto. I mean, this team goes when Lindor goes.
It feels that way, yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
And Pete, too. But then again, last year, Pete was barely around offensively, and Lindor carried this team and was receiving MVP votes by the end of the season.
And now, all of a sudden, you have arm issues, and you have pitching problems, and you have shortage of pitchers and overuse of bullpens. And you have the worst of all situations coming together at the same time.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about the Mets and Yankees, as the Yankees get it done and Boomer hit his bet, Yankees in the over yesterday, 888-808-1019. That's 888-808-1019. And unfortunately, if you didn't see it, another injury to a member of the bullpen. Max Kranick has to go on the 15-day IL. So it was just last week. I actually believe it was a week ago today. We got that phone call from a Mets fan who'd been a Mets fan since their inception and said, I don't want to change anything about this rotation. It's too good. These guys are rolling along. I don't want Manaea back. Trade Manaea. I don't want to see Montas. Get rid of this guy. And then you said, hey, these things work out. Someone's going to pull a hamstring. Someone's going to have a elbow thing, a shoulder thing, and unfortunately this happened. Now,
well, this is where Kodai Senga pulls a hamstring the same day.
Yep.
And, you know, because Pete Alonso's over there, you know, playing like Steve Sachs.
Yeah.
And has a hard time when he's thinking about it and has to and knows he's throwing it over there. And this, I'm going by what Keith Hernandez, he knows more about it than I would, and playing first base and some of the issues that those guys deal with, that when Pete doesn't have really time to think about it, and like he made a play the other night, and he throws the ball perfectly. But when he all of a sudden has plenty of time to think about it and has to try to get it over to first base and try to hit the pitcher in stride, all of a sudden something happens to him.
Yeah. I mean, and it is true. I mean, that happens just with anybody. Sometimes when you're not thinking about it, you just go about and do it, then all of a sudden that's when you're at your best.
Well, that's what I was trying to say about Anthony Volpe the other day when he makes the error in, you know, in the field. And I'm like, okay, look, you've been doing this a million times. You got to convince yourself that it's just, this is 1,000,001. And no matter what point of the game it may be, and unfortunately for him, a lot of this stuff comes later in the game where it is really crucial and just a vital error that ends up leading to runs for the opposing team. So for him, he's just got to relax and he's just got to keep telling himself, I've done this 1,000 times. I'm going to do it 1,000 more times. And it's just going to keep coming and keep coming. Look, that's the most important position in baseball, and he's going to have a lot of plays yet to make this year, and he's just got to get over some of these late inning, you know, kind of just really bad plays that should be easily made by him.
Yeah, and it seems to come at really costly times late in the game.
And that's what I'm saying.
And that's been a problem, and it's almost like he's thinking in eighth and ninth inning, and he's got an opportunity, you know, don't hit it to me, don't hit it to me. But in the second inning, he can make these spectacular plays,
well, you know, when I had a couple bad games and all of a sudden the ball was flying on me or something like that, and I'm talking more when I was in Cincinnati and a younger player, my coach at that time was, you know, of course, Sam Weish, and Bruce Gossett was my offense coordinator. And Bruce was tough on me in the practice, on the practice field. He's like, get that arm up, throw it over the top. And he was always on me. And he goes, look, man, you do this a million times. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to continue to do this. And usually when you're a younger player, I don't care how long that, this is his third year now. So he's not really technically young anymore in terms of baseball time, but he's still a 24-year-old kid. And he's going to have those lapses in judgment and I think also concentration at times. And I think that's some of the things that he's going through. But my message to him, it would be exactly what Bruce's message to me was. You've done this a million times. You can do this at any point in the game. And you should be thinking that way going into every single game. You got this. You got this. And that really helped me.
Yeah, I was listening on the way in and you had a conversation between a caller and C-Mac I thought was interesting, talking about the Mets and Yankees and how the fan bases kind of criticize certain things in one fan base and don't with the other, especially when it comes to the manager. So both the Mets and the Yankees over these losing streaks had fundamental problems, right?
Oh, yes.
Right, both of them.
But, ugly.
Yeah. So the fundies were not there. Now, when the Yankees fundies aren't there, we get a lot of phone calls. We got a few this week. Aaron Boone, how do you not tell this guy? How do you not pull a guy out of a game? Why in the hell is this guy still the manager? He doesn't say these things to the players. He doesn't hold them accountable. When it happened to the Mets, it's the Met fans mostly are saying that it's the players' fault. We're not blaming Carlos Mendoza for those things, but the Yankee fan is blaming Aaron Boone for those things. Mm-hmm. So C-Mac's trying to ask the question, why? So my answer, if I was going to call in, if I was going to be Greg from the LIE, would have been, it's twofold. One, it's been going on for longer with the Yankees and Aaron Boone. And C-Mac goes, it doesn't matter how long it goes on because it's either you blame the fundamentals on the manager or you don't. Well, no, it does matter because the second year of Carlos Mendoza, he had a lot of success in the first year. And they didn't really have those issues last year. They're having a few of them now, but it's the amount of time that the Yankee fan believes that the team hasn't been held accountable and guys like Gleyber Torres not running out ground balls. And also, a point that I think is huge in all of this is Game 5 of the World Series.
Yes.
We all remember how bad that was and the plays that were not made and the fundamentals out the window for that particular game. And when you're talking about playing for a championship.
You know, it was like the Mets back in 2015 versus the Royals.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Same kind of
thing. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, the Dodgers said the same thing about the Yankees last year when the season was over, at least one of their players. What the hell was his name?
Joe Kelly mentioned it. Yeah.
I mean, he mentioned it. Just, you know, put the ball in play and let the Yankees boot it around.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why the Yankee fans are more sensitive about it. But I still think that it's more on the players than it is the manager. Like, I remember defending Aaron Boone after Game 5 of the World Series.
Like, you know, you expect the players to make the plays. I mean, that's why they're out there. That's why they're that's why they play those positions. But it is frustrating because I think Yankee fans have had Aaron Boone here for a long time. And much like we don't like the post-game sound from him or the pre-game sound from him, I think they're tired of it. Now, Mendoza is a little bit different. You know, he does give you a little bit more, but he also still does, and they have to protect the players.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
Yeah. And I remember asking Carlos Mendoza about talking so much. I said, I mean, do you ever get just tired before the game, after the game, 162 games? And he gave what I think was an awesome answer. He goes, hey, listen, if I'm not talking that much, it means that I'm not managing a Major League Baseball team, and that's what I want to do, so I am happy to do it.
That's part of the job description.
That's for sure. Jason in the Bronx, what's going on, Jason?
Hey, what you said is exactly correct when it comes to Boone. We've had so much time of him not pulling somebody and or not doing what he should. And the biggest example was just in the last World Series when Garrett Cole had the brain fart and didn't make it to first base. And then after that, he let things happen. You could see Garrett Cole was spinning because he that was in his head. And the person who ran up to cool him down to get out the inning was Phil Rizzo, not Boone.
Anthony Rizzo.
Three batters went, and Boone never once went and addressed Gerrit Cole to get him straight.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So
and that's Anthony Rizzo, yeah.
And by the way, that particular play, if you want to tell me that, you know, not so Aaron Boone not calming down Gerrit Cole, you know, maybe that's something you'd like to see. We also, you know, Aaron Boone had been around Gerrit Cole for many years. Gerrit Cole's someone who runs very hot. He might be thinking the last thing he wants, it'd make it worse if I go out there and try
by
to.
By the way, he's also making $35 million a year. I mean, he's an all-star. He's a, you know, he's a winner. He's a top-end pitcher. You know, he made a mistake. He had a brain fart.
Right, right. And that's why I remember going at days we talked about this, that it's Gerrit Cole, who has won a Cy Young and been in Major League Baseball for a long time. Anthony Rizzo, who is a veteran, who is, you know, is at the end of his career. We're talking about these two guys that had that made this.
This is not Anthony Volpe. This is not Jason Dominguez. This is not some young guy who is just basically out in space.
You can't tell me that's a manager's fault. And by the way, you can't tell me that Aaron Judge dropping the ball is a manager's fault either.
You can't. But the other thing, too, for us Met fans, is that we see Juan Soto do these things, and we're just, like, beyond, like, what this can't happen.
Yeah.
You can't get caught in a rundown. You can't blame the umpire for not seeing a guy catch the ball in the outfield.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh,
terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's the not taking responsibility for that. I mean, I as we mentioned before, like it's either a home run or it's caught. So if it's a home run, then you don't have to worry about going back to first base, because then all of a sudden you just start trotting around the bases. And you would have known if it went off the wall. Right, because you would have seen it go off the wall. So it's either over the wall or caught. So go back to first base.
You know, if this is the top of the wall and the guy is over the top of the wall, I'm talking about my microphone bar here.
Yeah.
And you are leaning over it and you then pull the ball back, then I can understand that that's up to the umpire to make that call. But when that ball is up against the wall, like that ball the other night was, and it's caught, and you can, and clearly being seen by everybody in the stadium, you cannot come back and complain about the umpire not making a call.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I don't think, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because all of us, especially around this area, you grew up playing baseball. These things were drilled in our heads, and then when you see it happen at the major league level, it drives you nuts. Get the phone calls from the old baseball fans. How come they can't bunt? They're not stealing bases. I mean, all of these
games changed. Let's face it. The game's changed. The players have changed. The players are making so much guaranteed money right now that if they have a couple bad games or they show up late, you know, so be it. But I always say, you know, you got to have those, I guess you want to say, rules or understanding between player and manager, and things that the manager, like we saw in Philadelphia, that is the manager's just not going to put up with.
Yeah, with Nick Castellanos and right. Castellanos.
So you may make more money than me, but I am your manager, and the manager means I lead the team. You could lead the team on the field, that's fine, but the decisions that I am making are in the best interest of the team. I think that I am making the decision to help the team win. And when I think that you are not doing that for the team and you're disrespecting me as the manager, then I have to do something about it. And now some managers do something about it. Some of the older, more grizzly managers would do it. But they also know, like, and the managers that I've interviewed over the years, you know, they continuously tell me, like, you got to pick and choose your spots. You know, and sometimes those spots are chosen for you. But they've also told me, you know, Boomer, you can't even believe how long of a year this is. And how many times have we heard a manager say, well, I haven't really spoken to him yet. I haven't really said anything to him yet. I haven't seen him yet. That's because, you know, they purposely don't want to be in everybody's grill 162 days out of the year.
What do you think the hardest coaching job in sports is in 2025? I got an answer. But I don't want to say mine first to influence yours.
Okay. Well, I still think the NBA is probably the most difficult. And then I would say baseball would be after that. Simply because the contracts are guaranteed.
I'm going to go a little bit off the board. And I just said in sports in 2025, college football. That's going to be mine. With the transfer portal, how many kids you have to deal with. Yeah. All the recruiting, the nonsense that goes on. I'm going to say college football or college basketball, those two.
I totally understand why you're saying that, given the now rules. But I also understand that, you know, when you're dealing with a grown man who's got a 15-year, $765 million contract guaranteed,
that, a little bit tougher,
that yeah. good luck. And you better be able to make sure that that guy gives a crap as much as you do.
Yeah. Sort of like big hurls in you know, that type of thing. Manager, star player, you know? But luckily, you give a crap.
I do.
You give a crap. Like, we want to see Juan Soto give a crap.
Yeah, well, a little different.
You're not making $765?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. You should be. Renegotiate?
I'm doing well. I'm not complaining.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A feel-good summer Friday. What do you got lined up this weekend, CeeLo? You going over to Fanatics Fest?
No. Got a big weekend lined up. We got double flag football games for my boys tonight.
All right.
I'm going up to the Travelers tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Just as a fan?
Yes, as a fan. Yep.
Got a little media pass?
No media pass. Just a regular grounds pass ticket.
Oh, okay.
So going to mingle around with a couple of fellas. We've done this a couple times now.
Going up with Scones?
Scones, yep.
Nice.
Lou Gower.
Loogie's into the golf.
Oh, he's very into the golf. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He loves checking it out. Yeah.
I had no idea.
He plays you know, not as much as you guys do, but he plays.
Few people do.
That's right. That's 100% right.
Yeah. So does Lou Gower, he likes betting on the golf? Is that what it is? Or he just enjoys watching it?
He'll bet on the golf, but I think he just enjoys the experience of going to check out the tournament.
Oh, does he play golf?
Yeah.
He does?
He's not bad.
Doesn't really come across as an athlete.
He's not bad.
I think I saw Morash post a picture of him at an outing. I mean, did he play?
Morash?
Yeah.
I think... If someone lures him out to the course, I don't think he's seeking it out.
Food but there, yeah, he's going to be there.
Know. Yeah.
We've played a round with him. I don't think he plays maybe once or twice a year.
Now, if you're aligning yourself with any program here at WFAN, it's clearly us, right?
Sure, yeah.
So you're part of our family.
Yes.
I mean, it would just be absolutely no chance if we put our group up against any of the others. Mm. Like, if we created a foursome here of me, you, Jerry, Boomer, against anybody else on the station, it would be a freaking bloodbath.
I mean, if you combine the rest of the station, if you went like BT, Scones.
Scones is more our guy too, though.
All right, well, but you said if it was the two of you, myself and Jerry, that's a foursome right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to.
Okay, if you put, all right, you know what? Give him Scones.
Right.
Because he's a really good golfer.
Should try to even it out
a
little.
Yeah, give him Scones.
BT, Scones.
BT's always talking about his injuries.
Yeah, but I think he plays.
He used to. He used to be very good.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of injuries now.
You know?
What injuries does he have?
A bunch.
Really?
Yeah, he's got
All
those years of baseball,
wear
man.
And tear, yeah.
Oh, so this is wear and tear of all those years of baseball.
He actually, I think, I forget which way it was, whatever his natural side was, whether it was righty or lefty. He taught himself, I think, to play golf from the other side because of some injury that he had.
So that's right. He plays lefty golf because righty.
Or did at some point. I don't know where he's at currently.
All right. So let's just assume that he can get out there.
All right.
So you got Scones, BT. Tiki said he was a 20 handicap when he played in that pro-am at the Travelers.
I've never seen him swing the golf club. You guys have?
I have not. No.
Oh.
I haven't. No.
All right.
Anybody else?
How about Bob Gelb?
He's not really part of a show, though.
All right. I'm trying to give you guys at the station who actually play.
Talking about this.
You can show Lou Gower.
Lou.
He can hold his own.
Lou.
You guys do handicaps with strokes, which you would.
Yeah. Okay.
And
then
play?
C-Mac, I think, plays.
I think he plays. I've not ever seen him play. I've never played with him, so I can't speak to his abilities.
Okay.
Can C-Mac see the ball?
Why would you think he couldn't?
He's a big man.
What?
You think that his gut is going to get in the way of seeing the golf ball?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You ever see John Daly play golf?
Yeah. He's very thick.
Yeah, no, he is. He's girthy.
He's like, he is like thicker the kicker.
Yeah, he's girthy. Yeah, but he's also a very good athlete. He was like named the team MVP of his high school football team at Cary or something.
Did he play? Many years ago.
He played defensive line, I think.
Yeah, I can see that.
Definitely
defensive
see line,
that.
Offensive line.
Like some bitch.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Man.
How about Boyle?
I don't think he...
Oh, he plays.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. I've seen him play. He's
all
not
right.
bad.
All right, yeah. Then, yeah, throw together a team. See what you can do. Throw together one.
Scone said, how about Beningo?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You could do that. But he only plays with his wife.
Correct.
So then that means
you got to put
that,
Terry in the foursome.
Right. Nobody drives the ball straighter than Terry. Nobody. I don't care who you are. I'm not saying it goes as far as Rory, but nobody could drive it straighter than Terry. 877-337. Were you playing? Was that a Al Dukes penis drop that kind of popped in there, Eddie?
It was a BT.
Oh, okay. That's too bad. I was talking over it.
It was quick.
Yeah,
it was very quick.
Penis.
All right, CeeLo, what do you have for us?
All right, the Met bats are Strider last night, but it was still a 1-1 game, bottom five in Atlanta until this.
Holmes ready. His pitch. Rolling in. Ball four. He's walked in a run, and Atlanta takes a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio, that broke the dam as Waskar Brazaban came on, walked in another run. Met pitchers issued 9 free passes last night, 6 of them by Holmes, and the Braves went on to win 7-1 to complete the 3-game sweep, extend the Mets losing streak to 6. So they're going through it right now, but Brandon Nimmo quick to point out it's all part of the 162-game marathon for the entire league.
Pretty much every team, you know, say maybe one or two, I don't know, I really can only think of one. But pretty much every team has gone through stretch that we're going through right now.
I'm not sure which team, or maybe the Tigers that he's referring to that hasn't hit the skids at some point, or maybe I'm missing somebody. I know the Dodgers have had their struggles. Obviously,
yeah,
the Yankees have as well.
Phillies.
Braves, Phillies, yeah. So maybe the Tigers. Pitching-wise, things have gone south in a hurry pretty much since David Stearns warned us that he didn't expect their staff to pitch to a sub-3 ERA all season. Collectively, they've hit the wall a bit, Holmes included in that.
Yeah, when you're maybe a little more tired, you have to execute some of your second, third pitches. And you know, it's, I don't think it's all one thing, really.
And that is something to watch with him, which, you know, we got out for his outing from Denver, and then the next time out, they pulled him a little bit early, so he doesn't have the workload innings-wise, obviously, as a starter. So here we are in June, and they're going to have to kind of manage that the rest of the way. Tonight, Blade Tidwell walks into a tough spot. He's up from Syracuse for his second big league start, facing the Phillies on the road in a hitter's ballpark with his 6-game skid in progress, and he'll be opposed by Zach Wheeler. You got first pitch at 7:15 on Odyssey Mets Radio. It is also an Apple TV Plus game this evening. At the stadium, nice to see the Yankees get back into the win column.
The pitch. Strike 3 called. There goes the 6-game losing streak. Goodbye. Victory for the New York Yankees. They win it 7-3 and salvage a game in this series.
Over the visiting Angels with Dave Sims on the final call.
Hey now.
Here on the fan. I haven't heard the hey now in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not listening to every inning, and I know that every time we bring this up, there's at least one listener says, oh, use it on this defensive play. But I do think, without a doubt, bringing hay now to New York and the attention that it got because Howard Stern did it so much and we brought it up here that it has gotten in his head. He is not hay nowing nearly as much as he did in Seattle.
Especially on home runs.
Yeah.
So
he's going wow.
Yeah,
he's bringing a lot of wows in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did Emmanuel do play-by-play, or he just played the role of Susan and kind of just dropped in some stats and some analysis?
I think the role of Susan, because all the play-by-play highlights in the system were from Dave.
Okay.
They also had some kids in there yesterday. It was Kids Day.
On the TV broadcast. Maybe
I think also on
the
radio
as well.
Too, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You can sit on my face.
Okay.
Emmanuel, moment for him.
They limit his play-by-play because of that,
yeah,
perhaps?
Yeah.
That was a watershed moment.
for Emmanuel Babari, yes, definitely.
He was a good sport about it. Devin Williams struck out the side in the 9th, 3 scoreless frames from the bullpen in relief of Carlos Rodon, who picked up his 9th win. He worked around 3 solo homers. Offensively for the Yanks, Trent Grisham, Paul Goldschmidt, back-to-back homers to give them the lead for good in the 2nd, and Cody Bellinger had a 3-hit day. There were a couple more outs on the base paths, but this time. They were able to overcome it. They got to clean up the sloppiness there. Orioles coming to town now. You got Max Fried and 35-year-old Japanese rookie Tomoyuki Sugano tonight, 6:25 pregame here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Give you one out-of-town highlight from this hour, the A's with their second walk-off win over the Astros this week with the same rookie ending the game yet again.
Here's the pitch.
Energy there from Jenny Kavnar in Dallas. Braden, NBC Sports California. Third home run of the series for Kurtz. His second walk-off shot as the A's beat Houston in 10-6-4. NBA Finals Game 6 with the Pacers facing elimination on their home floor. Tyrese Halliburton did play, but it was a collective team effort to send this series the distance.
Now McConnell drives it down the right side. Into the lane he goes. Out to Toppin. Fakes the three. Bounces once. And hits the three. That's his fourth of the game.
Shot fake to clear the space. And he gets that to go.
The lead is 27 with under half a minute to go in the third.
Pacers radio and Ben Shepard added a buzzer-beating three to make it a 30-point advantage for the Pacers heading into the fourth quarter. They cruised from there 108-91. Six guys in double figures, led by 20 from Obi Toppin off the bench. You just heard one of the four threes on the night. He's soaking all of this in right now.
There's not a lot of game sevens that happen, so to have this opportunity to play in a game seven with this amazing team is a blessing, and I wouldn't want to do it with any other team.
Halliburton, for his part, 14 points, 5 assists, across 23 minutes with the bad calf. He was a plus 25. On the flip side, we talked about Jalen Williams off the 40-point performance in Game 5 being a finals record minus 40 last night.
Our defense wasn't very good. And when you're constantly taking the ball out and you're playing against a set defense over and over again, that's part of it. Other part, we didn't do a good job trusting each other to make the next play.
We'll see if they can build some trust in time for Game 7. It should be Sunday night.
You can't trust each other now. When can you trust each other?
They're a tough team to figure out.
Yeah.
They've been a little up and down, but obviously they've gotten themselves to this point. So see if they can rebound. No pun intended. Game 7, Sunday night back in OKC. The Panthers are still partying. They had daytime fun on Wednesday. A little nighttime fun at the club last night with Queen's We Are the Champions playing until they went a cappella for the chorus. Hand, the cup was there, having a grand old time, and then they're urging Conn Smythe Trophy winner Sam Bennett to stay with the Panthers instead of testing free agency, and he played into their request in a familiar way.
I don't know how much to say. Yeah, I do have nothing to say.
They flash 8 more years, so it's been the assumption that he's going to take a discount and stay there in Florida.
Of course.
Nothing official, but I don't think he'd go to those lengths in front of the fans.
Yeah, I don't think he would either. And yeah. I don't even think he's going to want to go to free agency. You know why? Because I'm not sure about his family life and everything else.
No,
but like I said yesterday, this is a problem in the NHL. It's where the families want to live, and Florida's obviously a great place to live year-round. It's a great place now to play hockey, both there in Tampa. And a lot of guys love going there, just like they love going to Nashville, just like they love going to Vegas. It's really about lifestyle and also no state tax.
I'm a Republican!
Do people like going to Edmonton, Boomer?
No.
Well, maybe don't look for Connor McDavid to take a discount to remain there beyond next season. He's heading into the final year of his contract. So on breakup day, he was asked about his future with the organization now that they've come up short in the cup final twice.
You know, winning would be it's the most important thing. If I feel that there's a good window to win here over and over again, then signing is no problem.
At one point he did say, with all that in mind.
Back-to-back Stanley Cup appearances. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. They are getting better. They just need a better goalie situation.
He did say he kind of got lost in the shuffle postgame the other night. If they lost, we kept doing the same effing thing, banging our heads against the wall. So maybe a little frustration there for him. And
but
he did say
Florida's
at one point,
a really good team. No, I know. They added that Brad Marchand, and that pest became, you know, the star of that team.
Yeah, Seth Jones on defense. So we'll see what happens. But McDavid entering a contract year will certainly be a storyline throughout. I'll leave you with this one off the beaten path. I know we play a lot of dog stuff.
Yeah.
So the movie Jaws is celebrating its 50th anniversary. For some reason, he's gotten all caught up in this week. He's done a number of interviews about it. People have called in little nuggets, snippets, info about the movie for whatever reason. And this was off, I think, a caller who brought something to his attention. And Dog just dropping a word in there that we don't hear that much these days.
Frank is on top of it. I did not know about that scene with Dreyfus. It's the first time I've ever heard that, that there was a midget in that shark cage. I'm not sure if that is accurate, but we'll take Frank's word. All right, Robbie in Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Never know? I don't even know if I want to do this one.
Oh, so many ways.
Yeah.
What's this now? Not allowed to say that? That's what Eddie's telling me. I'm not allowed to say that anymore. All right. Apologies. Didn't realize there was a dwarf in the shark cage. I'm not accurate about that, but Frank did sound like he was on top of it. Didn't realize that it was Dreyfus and a dwarf. Was not familiar with that. So you're telling me that Dreyfus was in the shark cage with the dwarf? Wow.
Incredible. Six in front of nine. Sports radio.
Six in front of nine.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. All right. A couple of things here. So we were talking about Brandon Tierney's injuries, and I said he's got a lot of injuries. And you were disputing that, it sounded like. Well, BT has checked in on his injuries.
I'm glad. Okay.
And here he goes. Tommy John surgery, right elbow. Mm-hmm. Arthroscopic on the right elbow. Ruptured Achilles.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Back surgery, L4, L5, S1. He says, I will chip and putt with anyone, but will not cut checks. My body can no longer cash.
Oh, okay.
Oh. All right.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
I gotta give him respect for that. Self-awareness.
It's quite an injury resume he's got there.
Yeah.
Legit a lot. Stuff.
Seemed very proud of it.
You think that I don't know.
They're battle scars, you know, war wounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just being honest.
Yeah.
Can't play golf the way he used to.
A wear and tear. I mean, guy played college ball, you know.
Right.
It adds up over time.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back. We have Tracy from Atlantic Highlands who's got personal questions for us today. So I'm interested in hearing her on this Feel Good Summer Friday. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I know everybody here at WFAN excited for Fanatics Fest, which starts today. The shows will be going on from there, starting at 10 a.m. with BT and Sal. Evan and Tiki will be broadcasting from there over the weekend. You'll have a BT Unkillable and a Evan Rico Bronya, so a lot of stuff from Fanatics Fest over there at the Javits Center. And we also have our digital maven Tom Izzo's brother, Frank Izzo, competing in the Fanatics Games for $1 million, a Lamborghini or a LeBron James rookie card.
You know, he's going to be a problem.
Apparently, that's what he's telling everybody.
Yep, he's a problem.
It's going to be a problem for those pro athletes. Man, I tell you, if Izzo's brother wins $1 million...
That would be amazing.
I would just be absolutely incredible.
And the good thing is that if the athletes win and no non-athlete participant wins, they'll get at least $100,000.
That is right.
For the highest athlete.
So there's something to compete for,
yeah,
even if you lose to the pros.
Steroids are wrong. Do not take them.
He's still out there, man. Kevin. Somewhere. I got a text from him like 2 years ago, I think. Kevin Wolf, right? That's right. And he had his co-host, Andy the Walrus, did a program with.
Thank you.
Wolf and the Walrus.
The Wolf and the Walrus?
The Wolf and the Walrus.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. He sounded like a walrus, too. And I remember Minko went on that show. They asked Minko to be a guest. And it was an amazing interview.
Where was that show?
It was on some radio station in New Jersey. I don't know. But, yeah, the Wolf and the Walrus. Had a great run.
Pathetic.
That's good. Let's go to Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. What's going on, Tracy?
Hi, guys.
Hello?
Oh, no.
Oh no. Our phone system again.
Oh, no. Tracy, you got to call back. Get in a better area or something. I don't think it's that one doesn't sound like us.
I found out Tracy has a off-brand phone.
Oh, does she? She's one of these Cricket Wireless people?
She's like one of the Jerry Recco types. Oh, Android.
Of course. Off-brand Tracy. What are you doing, Tracy? Seemed like you had your life together.
Yeah, it seems like she had her total act together and she would have the right phone.
She didn't seem like somebody to be
now, now, to be fair, when I called in the other morning, the same thing happened. But that was you guys, not me.
Well, I'm not sure. The phone issues that we had post your phone call lead me to believe that it was a 50-50 thing.
No. But No.
I was listening. It didn't sound the same as those other phone calls that we had that were dropping because of our phones. But I don't know. We were in a bad area because I was about to call, and I looked, and I saw I only had one bar. I think we have the same carrier. Let's go to Taco Frank, who's in Hamilton. What's going on, Taco Frank?
Good morning, boys. What's going on, boo?
Hey, man.
This is a little embarrassing, but I got to tell you real quick, man. The other day, you guys were talking about scams, and I think it was Police Act that got scammed on the toll thing.
Yeah.
And I got scammed, Gio. I fell for it, and it could happen to anybody, man. It's kind of embarrassing.
Oh, no. I hope you didn't lose a bunch of money.
Not a lot at all, but me and my buddies, man, it's a little bit of a different scam, but me and my buddy listen to this podcast pretty regularly. And I wouldn't say he's an influencer at all, but my buddies, you know, this guy, he's pushing his product, and my buddies are like, you got to order it. You know, at the kids' game next week, we'll all try it. So bottom line, next thing I know, I got $50 of granola at my doorstep. And, buddy, I got it's like Aldi's brand granola, buddy. It's like the worst stuff you would ever have. So we're in the parking lot at the kids' game eating this. We're 10 guys sitting around eating granola. But it's horrible, and all we keep saying, they're like, you got to call Gio. We got to hear what Gio says about this. So I got to get your take on it, man. And I fell for the scam, and I got to know what you guys think. Could this possibly be the first time he ever really had granola?
And Taco Frank, love to hear from you. Great guy, and you're obviously talking about the granola bars that Mike Francesa was pushing on his podcast because his son was working for the company that was producing these things with Rapoli, who had a granola bar thing. He's got many companies.
Yeah.
So Taco Frank and his buddies tried it, and they said it was horrible, and they're standing around the parking lot. But
they were eating granola bars?
Granola.
See, like, you and your buddies are standing around drinking beers. Taco Frank and his buddies are eating granola bars.
You know, people, you know, they make fun of me. I don't try new things. I'm not a guy who likes to try new things. Never have been. And they'll say, well, let's try this. I'm like, I won't try this. I'm not interested in that. But, you know, so my son comes back. He's home. And he says, Dad, you gotta try this granola bar. I would never, never think to have a granola bar before. I mean, you know, I'm a guy, you know, I don't really like breakfast. Never have. But if I'm going to have it, you know, we'll do the eggs, we'll do the bacon, we'll do the whole thing, you know. And I tried it, and it was unbelievable. I mean, and I'm telling you, delicious. It's called Junkless. Junkless. So it's got, you know, it doesn't have all crap in it.
Oh, my God.
And this one is Berry Blast. And you know me, I never pump any products. I mean, ever. I'm not someone who's going to come on here. When have you ever heard me pump a product? I mean, never. So this is completely genuine, even though it's my billionaire friend who employed my son. So it's completely genuine. And it is just amazing. So, you know, I've decided, you know, to have 8, 9, 10 of them a day. And it's amazing. So I'm no longer hungry. And I'm eating Junkless. And it's been amazing.
It's your billionaire friend who employed your son.
I'll never promote anything on the show, okay? So this, I mean, we brought it to me, and, you know, I said, Dad, you got to try this one. You know, I'm not someone who likes to try new things, okay? Never have. Never have been. Never been that guy.
Oh, my God.
You know, you see some people, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to try that. You know, I want to try this. Maybe, you know, people eat some weird stuff. See some guys out there eating weird stuff. I'm not one of those guys who eats weird stuff. Never have been.
You don't eat weird stuff?
No, I never have been a weird stuff guy. You know, it's basic, you know. But, you know, my problem is I'll eat it late at night and be watching a game.
You know, that's been my issue. That's been my issue is that. And I'll never, you know, these shots, I see people doing the shots and all that. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that. I'm just going to eat granola and these Junkos bars. And they are, I mean, when I say delicious, I mean, this is like unbelievable. As if Wagyu beef could be in a granola bar. Is what this is. A1. Oh, Japanese.
Wagyu beef. Okay.
Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. What's going on, Tracy?
Hi, I'm back.
Hi.
That's better, yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Oh, yes. I can hear you, yes.
Like Al said, I have a Jerry phone. I'm like, I don't have an iPhone. I have an Android.
Oh, God. You just went from a 9 to an 8, Tracy.
Yeah, but you like on Cricket Wireless or something?
Yeah, what's going on?
I think I'm in the Musk Mobile, so maybe like something's happening in here. I don't know.
Well, we got you now, Tracy. So what questions
you got
do you
me
have?
Now. Okay, so one of my favorite topics is tattoos, like crap tats. I've heard that Gio is a good guesser. He has really good instincts. So I thought we could talk about who on the show has tats, whether or not they're crap, and let's see if Gio can guess them. And then you can also extend this fun game into the callers and guess if they have a tat.
Yeah, I do this with STDs and my friends, actually. That's what I do. It's a little bit more fun than the tattoos. I kind of guess which one.
Do you think Tracy has a tattoo?
Do you have a tattoo, Tracy?
You want to guess?
Yeah, you definitely do. I think you have three.
I think you have three tattoos.
You don't? Oh, wow.
I don't have a single tat. No way. I was going to get a Jesus fish, but then I'm like, meh, I don't want one.
A Jesus fish?
Yeah. Eddie's got a Darwin fish.
You know
fish.
That little, like, symbol? I don't know. I couldn't think
I know
of anything
the symbol,
to get.
Yeah.
And I'm like, eh, whatever.
Well, Tracy, you have a great weekend, all right? It's great hearing from you.
Okay, you too.
All right, I'm going to...
All right, bye.
Nobody here has tattoos other than me.
You're the only one. You have a Viking tattoo on your calf.
No, not on my calf. On my right shoulder.
On your right shoulder.
Yeah, right here. On the
calf, shoulder.
Whatever the hell. But yeah, that's where it is. If I had it on my right calf, you'd be seated all the time playing golf with wearing shorts.
I had a bunch of buddies when we played in Cincinnati that all had calf tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have just the Vikings tattoo that you can never see unless the shirtless because it's underneath the sleeve and everything, which I at least understood that when I was 18 years old. Getting the Vikings logo on their jersey was a mistake.
Yeah, but by the way, the tattoo looks good. It still looks good.
Yeah, no, it does. Tattoo Lose in Ronkonkoma. Got that done in the year 2000 for me.
Is he still there?
Sure. He had many, many tattoos places, Tattoo Lose. So... Nobody here has one. I think on the other shows, I mean, maybe BT has one somewhere. I could see him having his own face maybe somewhere on his body. No. I don't think Tiki or Evan. I don't think there's a lot of guys with tattoos around here.
What about Sal? You roomed with Sal. No.
Did he? I don't think so.
Or a Marash with like a Yankee Giants tattoo.
Right, or a Kruller. He may have a Giants tattoo, Marash. You know what? I don't know. I'm not sure.
And I am considering getting one.
Really?
A medic alert on my wrist, like for with the information.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It is sad. But this way, if I don't have to worry if I lose my bracelet.
This thing I've ever heard. Next, you're going to have to tattoo your name on your arm so you can remember it. God.
That's later.
Who are you, sir?
Hold on. Read my wrist.
Wow.
Sir, your wrist was torn off in this accident. Now what, dude?
I have a backup on my taint. Hold on.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.